It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
It is a good life knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, let me say that it's not only a good life, it's a great life. It's the best life that a person could have. Why? Because it is eternal life. And that brings joy to my heart. And I pray that you're saved and you're on your way to heaven. And knowing you're saved, that should bring an overflowing joy to you. You should be rejoicing constantly because you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's a great life. It's not only a good life, it's a great life. But this program is called It's a Good Life. And there is no greater life, no better life than that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, notice with me, if you would, Romans chapter 6. And we're going to look at a few things in this chapter. And once again, I pray that you do know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you do, one day I'm going to see you in heaven. We'll be together. But Paul the Apostle, as he writes the book of Romans under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's writing to the church at Rome. He's not only writing to unsaved people there, he's writing to saved people. And as we look at this, we want to pick our study up in verse 8 of chapter 6, where it says, "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." Well, see, having died with Christ, we will live with him. And of course, as we think of this, this is a future event that's going to take place with each of us knowing Jesus as our Savior. It not only means that we're going to live because of him, it means that we're actually going to live with Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, "Who died for us." Well, this is Jesus. And it goes on to say that whether we wake or sleep, and that word sleep here means being dead. So whether we are alive or dead, we should live together with him. We will live with him one day because he has saved us. Well, the Bible teaches us that there's coming a time when the Lord is going to say, "Come up hither," and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's those people who have gone on. That's those who are sleeping, in other words. Now, they're really not sleeping. That word sleep, once again, means death. I believe that every person who has known Jesus as Savior, they've trusted God, they've by faith trusted the Lord, they've trusted what God has said in order to be saved, and they've fallen asleep. They've died in the past. They are with the Lord right now. They're not really sleeping, as some people would have us to believe. Some people believe that when a person dies, they just simply go to sleep, just like we would as we're alive. We go to sleep. But that's not what the Bible is teaching here. It's teaching that people die, and when we study the Word of God, we find that those people who have gone on, those people who have gone on before us, who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, they're with the Lord right now. The Bible says whether we wake, and that's us who are alive now, it says, "We which are alive shall be caught up together with them." That's those people who have gone on before. We're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to be with the Lord forever. And this is good. It says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And that's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 10 is saying. Who died for us? Jesus, he died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. We are going to live together with him one day because he died for us. He saved our souls. We've trusted him as Lord and Savior. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." In other words, we died with Christ. Once we've trusted him as our Savior, it's saying we have died with him. And we are going to live with him physically one day because he gave his life for us, and because we recognized him as our Savior at one time in our lives, and we've asked him to come into our heart. Therefore, we're on our way to heaven, and we're on our way to meet him in the clouds. If he would come back today, we would go to be with him. And might I say, whether I go up with him in the clouds, whether he comes back and I'm alive and says, come up hither, if this breath of life leaves this old body of mine, I'm going to be with him right then. No matter if he comes back in the rapture or this body gives up the breath of life, it dies, this old body dies, I'm going to go with the Lord. It makes no difference when. I'm going to be there, no matter when, no matter how, no matter what happens. When death happens, I'll be with him. When he comes back into the clouds and says, come up hither, I'll be with him. Well, notice the first part of verse 9 of chapter 6. It says, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Well, we know that Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Jesus has died once. He's not going to die again. Death has no more dominion, according to the other part of that verse. It says, death hath no more dominion over him. Death does not have power over Christ. And because it does not have power over Christ, it does not have power over us. That means that once again, spiritually, we're going to live with him forever, spiritually and in body. This old body is going to be changed. This body is not going to be with Christ, but the body that we're going to have that is fashioned like his. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22, it says, who is going into heaven. Well, that's Jesus. And is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Now, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12 says, but this man, that's Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Well, then in Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, we'll see this later. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, nay, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Well, of course, now, Romans chapter 6 and verse 10, in the first part of that verse, it says, for in that he died. Well, he died unto sin once. Christ did die. He died once. He's not going to die again. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27, where it says, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sin, this speaking of Christ, first for his own sins, and then for the people's, for this is he, for he did once when he offered up himself. Now we know that Christ had no sin. Christ was sinless as he walked this earth. There was no guile found in his mouth, the Bible says. That means there's no sin about Christ. He didn't die for his sin. He died for our sin. The Bible says that he took upon himself. He was on the cross, and he gave his life for us, and he took upon himself the sins of this world. And I've said this before, that I believe the greatest pain and suffering that Christ went through was the fact that he took our sin upon himself. He suffered as no man or woman has ever suffered. He gave his life on the cross of Calvary. And he was bearing upon himself, he had it weighting him down, the sin of the whole world. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible goes on to say the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He died once, and he's not going to die again. And as I've already said, he's coming back for us one day, those of us who have trusted him as Lord and Savior. Jesus died for your sin. He died for my sin. And we need to appropriate that today. If you've never done that, you need to ask Jesus to save you. You need to say, Lord, I know you died for me, and I'm asking you to come into my heart. See, Jesus died on the cross. He didn't die for his own sin because he had no sin. He was perfect. He died for the sins of the people of this world. And if you've never trusted him as your Savior, you need to do that today. And if you are saved, you need to realize that it's Jesus Christ who died for your sins. And I know you know that because you've trusted him. You've asked him to come into your heart, and therefore you need to be living for him. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12 says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, that is Jesus, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10 says, "By the which will we are sanctified," set apart, in other words, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It's once. It happens one time when we ask Jesus into our hearts, when we get saved. It's one time. We don't have to keep going back and begging God to save us after we've asked Jesus into our heart. Jesus died once. You get saved once. Jesus is not going to come down from heaven again and die on that cross for your sins. He's already done that. You're saved once you ask Jesus into your heart. I pray that you are living for him because he's living for you. He first died for you, but now he's living for you. That because of the life that he has given you, you need to be living for him right now and telling others about him, how that they too can know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, now notice the rest of verse 10 in chapter 6 of Romans. It says, "But in that he liveth unto God." Now, because Christ lives, he lives for God the Father. And we also need to be living for God the Father. Acts chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." A healing had taken place here in Acts chapter 30 and verse 30 says, "But God raised him from the dead." Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and because he lives, you and I can live. A healing had taken place because of Jesus Christ, because of God. Now, God loves you. If you're saved, he loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die for you on the cross of Calvary to give you everlasting life. And you need to be serving him right now because he did die for you and he rose from the grave for you and he lives for you today. And you need to be living for him today because he first loved you. You are saved if you've trusted him as Lord and Savior, and you need to live for him. Get into the Word of God. Trust him to lead and guide your life. Don't trust man. Don't trust your own feelings, but trust Jesus Christ through his Word, the Word of God, to lead and guide you and help you to know what you're to do to be serving him right now. Let's pray. Father, I pray for that person today who does not know you as Savior. May that person be saved right now. For those who do know you, may they be living for you. That person who's listening, may that person serve you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer. Oh,